Saddle up your horses.
Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, hello, America, and welcome to the world. Welcome to Red Sky Radio and the Red Sky Radio Ranch, where we ride hard for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you all. Same old. From this standpoint, we got a packed program today. If you want to reach me, you may. Comments, questions, criticisms, contributions, what have you. info@redskyradio.net. info@redskyradio.net. I rarely begin a program with an announcement of sorts, but I'm going to do that today because I will forget it anywhere else in the program. I will not get back to it. A little bit of an update on a couple of books. A number of you ordered the Rapture Revisited. Finally, a lawyer takes a look at end time events. And I thank you for those who did buy that book. I hope that it has blessed you. I want to let you know that I am in the process of seeking a formal publication, if you will, with a mainstream Christian publisher. That book is going to be changed about less than 1%. But I have the names of everybody and all the addresses of everybody that bought that book. And when, and you can pray for this, if a publisher accepts this for wide scale distribution, which is, I really hope so, because the message needs to get out. I will send everybody that bought the book the newest edition. It's not really a second edition, only a few little errors or clarifications, a couple of Bible passages I think I've added, not much. It's like it's 99.9% the same, but I just want to let you know you will get a new one. Number two, I've had some people that when they sent in their order, they advance purchased the second book to come out, which is only now getting ready for consideration for publication. We are finally through the proofing process. That's called Things I Picked Up Along the Way and A Few Things I Should Have Left Behind. I think you will be blessed and you will enjoy that book. I just want to let those people know who have actually pre-ordered that a year and a half ago. I have not forgotten about you. I have your names, your addresses, everything. You will get it when it comes out. Number three, I have begun on the sequel to book number one, the Tribulation Rapture book, and that's, I don't know what the name of it's going to be. It's going to be something dealing with the enduring the tribulation. How do you survive? How do you even thrive, possibly? And maybe you neither survive nor thrive. I don't know. There's going to be different results for different people. But I want to cover maybe a snippet of that book in an upcoming week, whether next week is it or not. But it's going to be what personal relationships are going to look like during the tribulation. This goes beyond the civil disobedience, which we've talked about. How do you know when you need to disobey civil authority? All of which applies now. It will definitely apply then. And the personal relationships, there is some application now, but there'll be much more in the tribulation that the Word speaks to, because Jesus speaks to it. The Word speaks to it as to what things are going to look like as far as interpersonal relationships and how you will need to form your priorities. There may be a similarity along with disobeying civil authority to actually having to disengage with certain in certain personal relationships to be able to advance the kingdom of God. More on that as God gives it to me. Good news. We start with good news, try to end with the good news. In between, hang on. It can be a wild ride. I've got to fly through a bunch of good news because I have so much, which is a great thing, right? People say, gosh, all you got is this bummer news. No, I really don't. But you need to hear what's going on. In fact, the Bible says in Ephesians that we are to expose the works of darkness. Now, we don't like to hear about it, but it says to expose the works of darkness, to bring those things out. It's not to form how we view the world from a perspective of, is it getting better or is it getting worse or those things. You know, the fact of the matter is, we know in the end it gets worse on the whole. Does it get better for us? You better believe it. It says the light grows, you know, the light becomes brighter as we get closer to the end. Our relationship should grow. Our lives should get brighter, but that's a brighter light in an increasing darkness. Just know that. And we've got more we're going to be releasing here, I hope, really soon, regarding sort of a Red Sky Radio tour of sorts, which we have absolutely zero tour dates. I'll just confess it right now. It's a faith step. We're believing for the funds. We are believing for the opportunity for venues to open up to be able to take Red Sky Radio a bit on a tour of sorts. We're planning two-night events, hopefully Friday and a Saturday night, where we're in different locations. It's going to be partly evangelistic. On the first night, it will be more evangelistic than anything else. The second night, we're going to move right on into a cram and jam session on what you need to know for the days that are ahead of us. It's going to be a fast forward in the Word of God. It is going to be an intense, if you will. How much Bible school of real necessity can we fit into of 3 or 4 hours? Over a couple of days, over a couple of nights? I don't know. We're going to find out. Anyway, you can stay tuned for that coming down the pike, as they say, in the South. Okay, good news number one. I got to be really quick with this stuff. Okay, so the atheists are at it in Alabama. You know, I've read this before that I've read this from excerpts from homosexual magazines, atheist magazines, that the last defense in this country is the Bible Belt. You got to take down the Bible Belt. And that's why you'll see the LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ agenda being rammed and crammed and slammed and jammed down the throats of government school guinea pigs in different places, increasingly even in the South. The plan is to cut the belt in the Bible Belt. With this, I've read it. They've been very clear about it as to their plan. And so the Freedom From Foundation group, out of, where are they, Wisconsin? The only thing I personally hold against Wisconsin is that group. Anyway, they got a school in Alabama to stop saying the Lord's Prayer before the football games. And so they changed it to a moment of silence. So they went to a moment of silence. God bless the students at the, what is it? I don't know if I'm saying this right, but the Opelika schools. They in Alabama. So the students and presumably some parents and hopefully some teachers, some faculty, during the moment of silence, they all said the Lord's Prayer. It just wasn't led by anybody. Well, I take that back. I guess it was. I guess it was led by the Holy Spirit, right? So the moment of silence is turned into a moment of volunteer expressions of your affirmation and love for our Lord through the Lord's Prayer. And it reminds me of a passage in Scripture. Every time I can apply a scriptural passage to these stories, I will. If I don't, it's because I don't know the passage it applies yet, or I have just forgotten about it. But it's what it comes out of Genesis, with dealing with Joseph. What the enemy has intended for evil, God will use for good. But the enemy has intended for evil, God will use for good. So they wanted to silence the Christians. And so they got their the Freedom From Religion Foundation, got their moment of silence. But they got exactly what they paid for. They got a voluntary offering and proclamation of the Lord's Prayer by students and everything. I love to see this kind of stuff. Number two, I don't know anything about Kanye West. I'm not even sure I'm saying it right. I'm just not big on what's going on in Hollywood and so forth. I'm not a Twitter guy. What Khloe Kardashian had on her cheeseburger yesterday is not really of any concern to me. I really don't need that Twitter feed. But I am thrilled when somebody in that environment, which is very hard, very tough on Christians and those who have a yearning for a relationship with Jesus Christ, when they speak out. And Kanye West, went to a church in Atlanta and preached. And he preached a message of radical obedience to Jesus. I mean, I love this, folks. I mean, does this mean that his wife, Kim Kardashian, is toying with salvation? Does it mean she's already? I have no idea. I don't need to speculate. But the husband is leading the relationship here. This we know. And there's no quicker way to have Hollywood drop you like a hot rock than to start preaching Jesus. That's the quickest way. If you want to, if you've got a bunch of friends in Hollywood that you want to get rid of, just start preaching. It's pretty easy. Now, you will tug at the hearts of a few of them because they're everywhere. People everywhere really want to know more about Jesus. They just don't want to admit it. And they got the flesh that fights against it. And their eyes and their minds have been blinded by the enemy of our souls that tries to keep it out. But deep down in, we all have a void that needs to be filled. And that void will be filled. Just the question is, what's it filled with? Right? I mean, I can put steak, I can fill my stomach with steak, or I can fill it with strawberry shortcake. And I'm actually not going to tell you which one I prefer. I'd prefer to actually make room for both. But that's another point. But he spoke, and I just thought this was interesting. He said, quote, Jesus, let's be specific about him, because the road to hell was paved with statements like, oh, I'm just a good person. Well, it'd been pretty cool to hear the 600-person choir back him up at that church in Atlanta. But I love to see that stuff. Okay, next thing, good news. Okay, so we've got the Pulse nightclub in Orlando, Florida, where all the homosexuals got shot up, 3 years ago. But this is that's not the good news. Don't get me wrong here. The good news comes and emerges from that event, and it's because of a group of millennials that are boldly preaching freedom from their LGBT former lifestyles and lives in that same state. I want to just read from Jeannie Law from the Christian Post. A reporter, she writes here, quote, neither rain nor intense heat could stop hundreds of people from gathering Saturday to proclaim their freedom from homosexuality. A group of passionate millennials who call themselves overcomers brought the Freedom March. Isn't that interesting? I got to interject myself something here. The Freedom March. Well, look, we had the freedom marches, which were freedom from slavery, right? Freedom from the bondage of one man lording himself or herself over other people based on race. We had the freedom marches because those who were marching were now free, formerly in bondage. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. This is a freedom march. These individuals are free. These individuals have come out from underneath the bondage of Satan and the lie that there's a gay gene, which is just a bunch of crapola, which we all know about. We know that's false. We know that. Okay, I got to restart that sentence because my interjection became overwhelming there. A group of passionate millennials who call themselves overcomers brought the Freedom March to Florida to share how Jesus delivered them from the LGBT lifestyle. And I got to continue with this. This is too much good news to edit. The event kicked off just before noon with a fervent prayer for the city, a fervent prayer for the homosexual community, and other groups of people. Now, I'm just going to edit here. They've received threats, and wouldn't you know it, and this is exactly what I've said before. It's exactly what I'd predict, and I would be shocked if it were any other way. So who is opposing the LGBT Freedom March? Well, there are two groups, but only one that I ultimately have issue with, which I will deal with momentarily. First of all, there are those homosexual groups which have said, I mean, I've read this from, what is the magazine, The Blade, some queer magazine up in the Seattle area. they have said they can put up with anything from people who don't support their agenda, except for one thing. Only one thing can they not tolerate, and it's to the point where the person that wrote the article that I have, I just don't have it in front of me, said, we have to find a way to sue these people into silence. And that is those who claim to have been homosexual who are now delivered and free. In other words, the ones they need to shut up are the ones that will show the falsehood of the born gay whole thing. The ones who show that you actually can be delivered from it, which we know from Scripture, do we not? Well, if you don't, I'm going to give you that Scripture in just a minute. But this Freedom March, well, I got to tell you the other one. The one that I really had the objection to, the group number one, they're lost. Their eyes are darkened. They're being held hostage. They're in bondage. Just like the people who are in marching in this parade. But for this particular rally, where did the pushback come from? This is a group that I have great issues with. This is a group I do not pray for. This is a group that I will excoriate every week on the air if I were so led. And that is the alleged Christian churches and groups that say that they are the LGBT affirming. In other words, everything queer, everything debauched is fine and dandy because you are who God made you. Celebrate it, enjoy it, and whatnot. Those are the ones that I despise. I do not pray for fake Christians. I don't pray for Christians that are... I don't pray for those who say they are Christians and have used the word of God unrighteously. I do not do that. And in fact, in 1 Corinthians 5, we have this sexual debauchery going on in the church, right? And Paul writes about it. And Paul says, get rid of this guy who's committing this sexual debauchery. Put him out. And he said, I'm not saying to come out from among those who behave like that and that are outside the church. He said, otherwise you'd have to leave the world. You'd have to take a rocket ship out of here. He said, I'm not saying that. But he says, what I am saying is come out from those who say or call themselves a brother or obviously a sister in the Lord. Those who preach that debauchery and claim themselves to be a Christian. Paul goes on to say, have nothing to do with them. And he says, in fact, don't even have lunch with them. Okay? So I'm just taking my cue from Jesus and from Paul, and Paul, is which is really Jesus because that's the Holy Spirit, right? So I got to continue on with this. Angel Colon and Luis Javier Ruiz hosted the event and led the sharing of testimonies of salvation at a band shell before the group marched. Both men are survivors of the mass shooting at the Pulse nightclub in 2016 and have since left homosexuality and started a ministry called Fearless Identity. You gotta love that, don't you? I love it. Look, I don't hate the homosexuals. I don't. I hate the lifestyle. I hate the commission of sodomizing little kids, which is how most male homosexuals are emerge, is as a result of adult sodomizing. It's a fact. I don't hate them. They're part of they're caught in the bondage. I despise the churches and the alleged Christians that are out there trying to okay their lifestyle because they just simply want to be liked. Well, I'll tell you what. I don't really care what man thinks of me. I care immeasurably, immensely, beyond calculation, what God thinks of me. Doesn't mean I do things right all the time, by no means. Anyway, they got some t-shirts out there. One I like, really, really love this thing. It's called Taking Back the Rainbow. Oh my gosh, Taking Back the Rainbow. And the reason this is so significant. I told you I'd give you the passage in Scripture. Write this down. Go read 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. And Paul there, through the Holy Spirit, is listing the people who aren't going to go to heaven. Okay? Kind of a tough one, right? Does grace cover all? Well, yeah, it does, but grace doesn't cover something where grace hasn't cleansed. In other words, a person continues to live a life devoid of any identifiable connection with the leading of the Holy Spirit or having been cleansed. But in 1 Corinthians 6, I'll read it to you, but you mark it down. Paul says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" Okay, fair enough, they're unrighteous. "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate," and in some translations, the homosexuals, kind of the same thing, the effeminate, the sodomites, or the abusers of themselves with mankind, "nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Pretty clear, right? That if your life is marked by that kind of lifestyle, either you never were saved or you have recanted your profession of faith. But this is the good news. Verse 11, "And such were some of you." Past tense. You see, homosexuality is not inbred any more than all the other things listed here. Thieves. Were you born a thief? Well, we're born into sin, but you know, we don't have a theft gene. We don't have a reviling gene. We don't have an extortionating gene. We don't have an idolatrous gene or an adultery gene or a homosexuality gene. Either these things are all social in nature. We've picked up these sins or they're all inbred. Well, none of them are inbred because Paul just said through the Holy Spirit, "Such were some of you." This is the great hope here. The past tense. That life is gone. Enough. Okay, we're going to move along here. Next thing, because I got so much to cover. More good news out of the state of Arizona, the great state of Arizona. Christian artists are no longer being forced to make same-sex wedding invitations. So rules who? The Arizona Supreme Court. I love this. The case is Brush and Nib versus the City of Phoenix. They just ruled this the other day. It's fabulous. They came out and said, look, hey, whatever you think about these individuals' beliefs, you cannot force some human relations or human rights ordinance to create custom wedding invitations celebrating same-sex wedding ceremonies in violation of one's sincerely held religious beliefs, end quote. This is great news for the state of Arizona, which I might add is one of only two states that has God in the state motto. Did you know that? Ohio has it. I don't know what it is, but Arizona says God in riches. And so, this is great news for this state. Now, some would say, well, as there were some dissents on the court that said, well, you can't do this. You know, the city, right? You know, you can't use your religion. You can't hide behind a religious veil to deny somebody civil rights. Well, come on. We're not talking about denying somebody at a lunch counter a meal because of their race. And this is not Selma, Alabama here. And it's not 1964. We're not talking about behavior of blacks at the lunch counter. We're not talking about the behavior of some ethnicity or some gender that is uniquely contrary to the word of God. See, that's what's different here about the LGBT thing. Everything else that's in a non-discrimination code is an inbred characteristic. It's just a defining feature of a person. You can't discriminate against men versus women. Okay, you were a man or a woman. You're black or you're white or you're Asian or what have you. No, none of those things, none of the categories relate to behavior. But that's all LGBT relates to is behavior. It's their defining characteristic, and it's the behavior God condemns and calls an abomination. So when Kai Feldblum, the human rights commissioner under Barack Hussein Obama, came out and said, when there's a headbutting between the rights of homosexuals versus somebody's freedom of religion, the freedom of religion is going to lose every time. So this is Obama's pick. She's there heading that up. was, I guess she still has some place in the government. I don't know how or where. But what he's saying is, look, the clearly defined right to express your religion in the First Amendment of the Constitution is trumped by some bogus, fake, made-up, non-existing right that's fabricated by a delusional Democrat-influenced Supreme Court a number of years back. No, but that's what she said. Now, I've said this before. You're probably tired of hearing me say it, but I'm going to say it one more time. I'll probably shelve it for a while. Whether it's a wedding cake, whether it's wedding invitations, whatever it is, let's consider if the bakers or the wedding invitation people were black and the people getting married were a couple of skinheads. And what do they want on the wedding invitation? They want a KKK. They want a Ku Klux Klan insignia on the wedding invitation. What if the wedding invitation makers were Jewish? And you've got some neo-Nazis getting married, and they want the swastika on the wedding invitation. Do you think that those two groups of individuals, the blacks and the Jews in that case, those wedding invitation makers, would have to participate in advancing something so clearly and erroneously and divisively discriminatory? Of course not. And guess what? The KKK thing and the swastika are not even First Amendment issues. They're actually a lower level of scrutiny and consideration. Discriminatory? Absolutely. But at the level of a religious affiliation? No, there's not even a religious basis upon which to defend their actions to deny those parties to do something with a swastika or the KKK thing on it. They don't even have the First Amendment in religious part of it to fall back on. And yet we would never require that of them. So why require it of the Christians? Because why? Well, because the world is Christophobic, bibliophobic, Elohimophobic, and El Shaddaiophobic. All right. Okay. I got to pick up on a couple of things from last week just to finish. One, do I got time for this? Yeah, I guess Beto O'Rourke. This is Robert Francis, fake Mexican, Beto O'Rourke speaking, that he has revealed how he's going to enforce his gun confiscation. Now, we touched on this last week. This is the bad news. The bad news is that he's picking up speed and some other Democrat candidates are starting to follow him because of the great reaction he got when he said, hell yes, I will confiscate your AR-15s in the last debate. And it was the biggest cheer of the night, the biggest roar. So all the other Democrats just sort of chasing the applause, I guess is what they're doing, are starting to pick up on it, even though, of course, actually none of those individuals can even get close to actually defining what an assault weapon is. But anyway, he came out and said, this is how we're going to do it. We're going to fine Americans who do not hand over their firearms. Does this sound familiar? It ought to. I'm going to give you a little teaser here before the break, and we're going to pick up on this afterwards. Think Obamacare. Think how Obamacare was upheld by Justice Roberts when he perverted the Constitution and said that it was, in fact, constitutional. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 800-585-3358.
I think my dog's a Democrat, and it breaks my heart to have to say an ugly thing like that. But there's a big old pile of evidence that all points towards the fact my dog might be.
This is Rob Walter. We are back with Red Sky Radio, picking up on Robert Francis' fake Mexican Beto O'Rourke's comment that he said the way he's going to confiscate the AR-15s of people is that he is going to fine them. And I said before the break, think Obamacare. Think how Obamacare was held to be legal because Justice Roberts, in the perversion of the Constitution, said this is not forcing something. This is a tax, because what it was built upon is if you don't do this, if you don't buy this health care, it's a tax. You get taxed. I'm sorry. I mean, I misspoke there. If you don't buy the health care, we're going to tax you. And so Robert said, well, the taxing power is clear, and therefore this is constitutional. Even though they're going to tax you for something you shouldn't really have to do, the taxing power trumps that. So I made the argument years back, and I still do, that under that premise, and think through this, Congress could have said everybody in the United States must buy the King James Bible. You got to buy a Bible, must be the King James Bible. Do you have a freedom of religion to not buy it? No, you don't, because if you don't buy it, we are going to tax you, because the taxing power trumps the First Amendment. You see, this is how stupid and erroneous and perverted, frankly, Robert's opinion was. So this is what O'Rourke is picking up on. It's what the Democrats will do in the future, is that they'll find ways to work a tax into every conceivable gun regulation that there is. Everything is going to be that way. So he, and O'Rourke had the audacity to say this, and I got to quote him, quote, "I will begin by saying that we expect our fellow Americans to follow the law," end quote. What? Wait a minute. So you're going to confiscate guns. You have no authority to do so. The Constitution doesn't permit you to do so. And it's against the law. So why wouldn't your statement, Robert Francis, fake Mexican Beto O'Rourke, that you're going to expect Americans to follow the law, why doesn't that include you, Jack? Why aren't you included in your own prescription? I'll tell you why. Because the law was never for the elitists. The law was, and that's true for Democrats or Republicans. The elite, the laws are never supposed to apply. They're supposed to only apply to the common schmoes like you and me, right? Because, well, we're not the elite. We need these people to guide us and direct us and control us and show us the way. I will say this, and I need to move on. Buy your guns now. Do not wait for the end of Trump's term. I do not know. I've heard prophetic words. He's going to be reelected. I hope those are in fact prophetic. I don't know. I just don't know. All I know is that I'm going to function at this point in time in my life as though he's the last good president we have, sort of like the last good king of Judah. Did the people in Judah know under Josiah that Josiah was the last good king they were going to have? Of course not. They didn't know, and he left prematurely. I mean, he died at what, 39 years old? He reigned since he was 8. He was there a long time, but he died in an ill-conceived battle. He should not have been fighting, but he was killed. They mourned him greatly, and they never, ever had another good king. Did they know that at the time? Did they think he'd be killed in battle? Did they probably think that he was going to reign till he was 50, 60, 70 years old? Probably, but he didn't. He was out at 39. So I do not know whether Donald Trump is going to be reelected. I pray for him. I need to pray for him even yet more, and I hope that he is, but I don't know. So prepare as though he's not. Buy your guns now while they're cheap. Buy your ammo now while you can. Buy guns that can be legally purchased. Very easy to, not easy, but it's not a complex process to legally obtain appropriate firearms. And if you can buy ones that are legally, that are unregistered, which you can in Arizona, that's, you can, do it. And then be prepared to deal with the authorities when they come to your door. And we're going to cover more on that some other time. But do it, and do it now. While you have the time, you have the chance, the opportunity. And I might add, I just throw this in before we move along, kind of a little good news backup. There's a gun store in Arizona this week that held the Beto special sale on AR-15s. That's right, the Beto, the Robert Francis fake Mexican Beto O'Rourke firearm special deals on AR-15s. I laughed when I saw it joyously, and I was thrilled when I read this morning that they sold out their complete inventory in 4 hours. I will tell you this, it's a fun gun. That's all I can tell you. It's fun, and it's a great tool to be able to defend yourself against a whole host of enemies, which someday, who knows, it may include the government wanting to take your children and putting them in some, you know, government-forced lab rat environment. Who knows? Because as I said, I have no thought but what this country will divide, and no thought but what this country will ultimately have a civil war. Okay, well, one last thing before I move on to kind of my key piece today, which I haven't gotten to, and I apologize for the delay. Last week, and if you didn't hear it, you can go to darkskyradio.com, darkskyradio.com, and there's a podcast with a Red Sky Radio link there. You can download and listen to the program 9 or 10 times. I'm kidding, but you can pass it on. You can also go to redskyradio.net, where you can hear it for one more week on the homepage there, dealing with climate change and what the Bible has to say about it. I only bring this piece up today because it's so, when I think we're at the end of being ridiculous, it gets exceeded. These are a group of college students. They now have a supposedly 1,400 college students that have supposedly committed to not have any children, which means I guess they're going to all just go on an abortion frenzy if they get pregnant. They didn't say they aren't going to have sex. They just said they aren't going to have children until the government acts and does its part regarding slowing down and stopping and reversing climate change. Yep. This is the education your children and grandchildren are getting in government schools. It is one of the reasons I continue to work, is to make sure that none, as in zero, of my grandchildren ever see a government school. I am not going to have that forced, that pablum, left-wing drivel and pablum forced down their throat. No, these are going to be Deuteronomy 6 grandchildren. And if you want to see what God says about the education of our children, read Deuteronomy 6. I won't give you any more of that because I don't have time. You can find it, you read it, and you get built up and know what you got to do. So if you're thinking about this great big SUV next year, this worldwide vacation, all of which is fine and good in and of itself, but unless and until you have your children and your grandchildren's education, godly education taken care of, forget it. Forget it. Look, 20 years from now, you won't have that SUV. 20 years from now, you'll have some photos. But 20 years from now, when your kids are screwed up or your grandchildren are screwed up and you avoided or maybe even abdicated a responsibility for training them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, you will see the consequences and the price for not giving them that training and turning them over to a heathen, paganistic culture that hates Jesus Christ, a culture that's anti-God in every way, shape, or form. And to that end, I need to quote my friend here, David Lane, who writes, this is sort of a good news piece. I've never, ever done a piece on Brazil. And this isn't specifically about Brazil. It's really about education. But David writes here, Brazil's president, Jair Bolsonaro, if I've said that right, Jair, J-A-I-R. I'm not sure how you pronounce that. Bolsonaro recently instructed the Brazilian Ministry of Education to draft a bill that prohibits gender ideology in Brazil's public elementary schools. Quote, "We are going to unite the people, rescue the family, respect religions and our Judeo-Christian tradition, combat gender ideology, and preserve our values." End quote. Wow. I'm a liking that. But Lane goes on to write, "President Bolsonaro's likely problem with gender ideology concerns its glaringly discreditable feature of intolerance for any viewpoint other than its own. This intolerance has been driven so far as to incorporate something so unsubstantiated as gender ideology into the very foundation of government-run preschool through third-level education. Until this scheme has been exposed and resolved, we should not expect God's favor on public education. And if America is to survive, Christians must move away from public education as they go up against bureaucrats' idolatrous crusade on children, capped off with the instilling of state-directed values over the objection of parents. We must adopt an attitude of resistance, resilience, and repentance, the latter over what we Christians have allowed to let happen to public education and our culture." And then quoting, he quotes theologian Archibald Hodge. Now keep in mind, when he wrote this, he died in 1886, the principal of Princeton Seminary. Quote, "I am as sure as I am of the fact of Christ's reign that a comprehensive and centralized system of national education separated from religion will prove to be the most appalling engineering for the propagation of an anti-Christian and atheistic unbelief and of anti-social ethics, social and political, which this sin-rent world has ever seen." And Lane goes on to say, "There's hope for America. Her youth must be kept free from public school indoctrination." The end of the quote. I couldn't say it better. I couldn't say it more succinctly. That is absolutely important. You want to know why we're going on a rat hole? Two things. Number one, we have turned over the culture to in the government schools to those who are interested, not interested, excited to fill the void with everything that's anti-God and control our youth and turn them against us, just like Adolf Hitler turned the youth against their parents. It will happen. Number two, I can't remember. It just blew out of my head. Okay. Okay. And I think it's because I'm getting behind in my schedule here. I want to get on to something that's relevant and maybe for this week only, sort of. It's actually relevant for all the time. But when there is something that happens in the news that is brings out a teaching point that reveals the application of Scripture to something going on now, it gets me excited. Not because the thing has happened, because what's happening here is bad that I'm going to tell you about. But the application of Scripture just simply further proves the point that there is nothing in life that is not, that's of meaningful substance that isn't covered by the Word of God. Now, it might be that I haven't, I haven't discovered it. Maybe the situation hasn't arisen in my life. I've given you examples of this in the past, which I'm not going to reiterate. I'm going to give you an example from just this week, how knowing the Word of God will put into place your understanding and your evaluation of things that are happening right before your eyes. And without it, you're lost. Without it, you're going to be voting. You're going to be voting with the people from MSNBC and CNN and Wolf Blitzer, but you know what I mean. You'll be going the way the mainstream media leads you, because you're going to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, which it says in the book of Philippians, because you don't know the Word of God. Now, I'm not beating up on you. It's just that, I have a steel trap memory for a whole bunch of useless information. There is stuff that I could tell you that you think, what on earth are you storing that away for? And I have no idea. I'm trusting maybe there'll be some use for it someday. I do not have a great memory for memorizing the address of scriptures to say, well, you look, I know that, you know, God's, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. You know, I know that's John 3:16 because I see it at every football game. But I don't, I can pull out all sorts of scriptures, but I oftentimes can't give you where it is. I know the difference, Old Testament, New Testament. I can tell you whether it's an epistle. I could tell you, I think it's in Corinthians, but I couldn't tell you which one, first or second. I don't seem to be able to remember that. And maybe that's why every time I finish the Bible, I then put it down and I say, okay, now what should I read? Hey, wait a minute. I got an idea. I think I'm going to read the Bible. So I'll go back and start again. And I don't know if I've been through it 15 times, 18 times, 14 or 21. I don't really know. All I know is I need to keep reading it to keep it fresh, to have it there to pull out that sword. When I pull out a sword, I don't want it to be dull, folks. That word of God needs to be, it says, sharper than a two-edged sword. The assumption in Scripture is that the two-edged sword has been sharpened and not hacked to pieces by beating it on a rock or something, for which it would be no good for its intended purpose any longer. And you have to actually have the sword in the sheath. So you got to know your Bible. But this is what comes out of this story this week where the Democrats are calling for Brett Kavanaugh's impeachment. Okay, so we have these horrific allegations against a great man. And we have allegations that go back, what, 30 years? Let's see. Let's see what we would find if the basis for impeachment is going back 30 years for, Barack Hussein Obama. How about 30 years for Kamala Harris, where she fornicated her way into public life with Willie Brown? How about 30 years ago with Beto O'Rourke, where he was convicted of drunk driving, and not only that, but he wrote this piece about how much fun it would be to drive a car up on the sidewalk and take out a couple of kids. Yes, he did write that, folks. But the media is not defending him because they don't want him running anyway. He's basically a loser for having exposed the Democrat plan to take her guns away, which we always known. It just hasn't been so obvious. So we have, I can't even repeat what the New York Slimes has said about Kavanaugh, and you probably have read it. It is so disgusting. I can't read it on the air and stay on the air. I really can't. Can't repeat it. But now an out comes the correction that what they repeated, what they stated, was actually, they actually omitted something from the source that they were quoting that actually would have reversed their position. In other words, who cares about the truth? We got a slime Kavanaugh, and we got a slime Kavanaugh into impeachment for something he didn't even, if he did it, he did it 30 years ago, but he didn't do it, and we can't prove it, so we're not going to let you have the information that shows you that he didn't do it. We're going to frame the guy. And what's it all about? What's it all about, Alfie? Well, I'll tell you what it's all about, Alfie. It's all about abortion. It has always been about abortion with Brett Kavanaugh, and that is the pro-aborts, the ones who like apparently the blood and the veins on their teeth and salivate over yet another dead child in the womb. They got to get rid of this guy because he's the one who could tip the scale on the Supreme Court for the dismantling of old Roe v. Wade. But why is there a teaching point here? What is the point of this? Even though we know we've got these people are coming out now and are saying, oh, what's her face? Christine Blasey Ford, that she was lying. They lie all over the place. Right? All over the place. I mean, this goes on all the time. So we shouldn't be surprised, should we? But this is the point that I want to bring out. Do you know every time that there was some scuffle between a black and a white during Obama's term, Obama didn't wait for the news? No, of course he didn't. He immediately made it a racial moment, and every single time, Obama was wrong. 100%, because he didn't wait for the facts, because he couldn't wait for the facts, because the facts were going to prove what he wanted to say to not be true. So he had to get it out there fast. every time we have a shooting, every time there's a mass killing. Look, the bodies are still warm, and the Democrats are out there calling for gun control. Do they know the facts? No. Do they want to know the facts? No, because it might interrupt their narrative. Until they find out that the shooter in Dayton actually was a Democrat. And the shooter in Arizona that shot Gabby Gifford, killed six or seven, he was a raging Democrat. No, we don't really like that kind of stuff. So they'll start to ignore those people. Do they wait? Of course not. So what do we have from a whole host of Democrat candidates here? They don't even care about the New York Times retraction. Whether it's Kamala Harris, Kamala, whatever the heck her name is anyway. I don't really know what it is. Whether it is Beto O'Rourke, whether it's Warren, Elizabeth Warren. They're all calling for Kavanaugh's head. Every single one of them are calling for Kavanaugh's head. And because they had, first of all, they shot their mouth off the minute the New York Times made the statements that it made, before it then had to enter an incredibly and ridiculously embarrassing retraction. But lest these individuals look like the fools and suffer the appropriate shame that they so eminently deserve, they double down and are still calling for his impeachment. Once again, the truth doesn't matter. So where is the Bible verse that speaks to this issue? Can you name it? You don't have to. I'm going to give it to you here. It's Proverbs 18:13. Proverbs 18:13. It says that he that answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame unto him. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it's folly and shame. I want to tell you, this goes back, what, I don't know, 30, 25 years. My son was on a high school quiz bowl team, and they were competing against this other school, and this other school had a guy who would not wait for the question to be fully asked, and he'd be out there answering it, and the kids that were with my son on the team, they were feeling kind of embarrassed and outgunned because this other guy was so fast with the answers, but he was also fast with things that were wrong. So I went to these kids on my son's team, and my son, I said, look, follow Proverbs 18:13, that the one who answers a matter before he hears it, it's folly and shame. I said, do you remember the last question they asked this kid? Or they asked that team on the other side where the kid shot off an answer, and the answer was so ridiculously far, it made him look stupid because the question wasn't even remotely close to what the kid thought the question was. Okay, fast forward to this week. Have they waited? Did one single one of them wait to hear what the matter fully was before them? Of course not. Absolutely not. Not even close. And is it folly to them? Yes, it is. I'm not calling them fools because I've judged them to be fools. The Word of God calls them fools. And is it shame on them? Sure it is. But the Scripture talks about those who no longer even know shame. Shame isn't something that they have any experience with because they sort of have this seared conscience, if you will. They don't know that the poisonous fruit that comes from their tree, because their tree is a poisonous tree that shouldn't be eaten. They just assume it's edible for everybody. And they consume their own fruit. They eat their own poison. Now, I hope, I mean, my prediction is Joe Biden is toast. You know, I've said that. I still think that's the case. I don't know who's going to rise up. But they all seem to be trying to shame the other ones. They try to out-folly the other ones. Or maybe they're not trying. It's just the consequence of a benighted soul, a darkened soul, a heart that does not know Jesus Christ, a heart that is so bent on darkness because it has made a point, like in Romans 1, to remove from their conscience the knowledge of God, that all that's left is the reprobate mind. So there's your point. But my real point in this, sharing this, is when you are done, don't tell me you read the Bible 25 years ago. Don't tell me you've read the key parts. Don't tell me you read Psalms in the New Testament once. Turn around, read the whole thing again and again and again. You don't have to read it in chronological order, but keep pumping it into your heart. So whether you're hanging around with your grandchild's high school quiz bowl team, or whether you're doing an interview on Fox News, you're going to have the Word of God front and center. You're going to have a sharpened sword with which you will be able to slice and dice all the wiles of the enemy. And don't worry, the Word of God is so strong and so powerful, you do not have to worry about the response. You have the King, the Creator of the universe, at your back. See you next week. Sit tall in the saddle. Remember, you ride for the brand.